Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Living Waters Christian Centre, and anybody else who's out there watching in the great cyber world. It's my privilege tonight to introduce you to a very dear friend, a wonderful woman of God, a woman who's been a great leader in the body of Christ, not only among New Life churches, but also many churches in the world. Hold Ann Morrow, Pastor Ann Morrow, in great respect. And we have the privilege of having Pastor Ann with us here in Living Waters Christian Centre, a very great honour for Janet and I. And Ann has been a mother to us, for Janet and I for many years. We, hold her very dear. It's probably pretty well impossible for me to overstate the respect that we hold Ann in, and also the honour in which she's held among so many here in Christchurch, throughout the South Island, the North Island, and overseas. Whenever Ann speaks, you really do want to listen. But more than that, whenever Ann prays, heaven listens, because when Ann prays, the spirit realm shifts and heaven shifts. And so I just want to introduce you to Ann tonight. If you've never heard her before, never met her before, you really want to sit up and put your listening ears on, open your heart to what Ann will have to say to you tonight. It's a great privilege for me to introduce to you Pastor Ann Morrow. God bless you, Ann. I'll hand over to you. Thank you for joining us.
A huge hi to you all in Living Waters. It's lovely to be with you this evening, our church family. And it's just a real privilege, and I want to be able to share a few thoughts that have been tumbling around. My, what a time we are in. It's absolutely extraordinary. It's historical, it's epic, and it's a catalyst for unbelievable change. But in God's economy, I believe it's a Kairos moment. For some of us oldie ones, we used to sing a song, "There never was a day like this day before." And truly, we are in such a day today. It's one of life's suddenlies. Who would have believed it? There was a time prophesied by David Wilkinson in 1986 that there would be such a time as this, and specifically mentioning New York and pestilence and plagues. And more currently, Chuck Pierce, in October 2018, and more latterly last year, but he mentioned that there would be a time, a year and 4 months, coming up to March and April 2020, where there would be such a disruption, where there would be a huge upheaval in global affairs, and also the plagues and pestilence. So it's amazing that God has spoken in an incredible way. But in conversations, we often start with, have you got a minute? Have you got time? Are you home? But except for people who are delivering essential services and on the front line, and we are so grateful for that, or if you have a large five family, you might not feel like this, but you know, we have been given a gift of time, something we never feel we have enough of. And I just want to talk a little about this gift tonight. There's several kinds of gifts. They're all necessary. And I just visualized three of these. One, a beautiful, beautiful gift, so beautifully wrapped, and we're drawn to it. And it's got all the things we love, all the things that are beautiful, all the things that, wow, that is a wonderful gift. A fun thing, maybe. And there's another box beside it. It may not look so impressive, but this is the box. We open it and find the to-do list. You might have your to-do list, but others have probably put things in it too, especially husbands and wives. I've wanted you to do this for so long. Now you have the time. But also, there is another one. And I think this other one maybe looked like a cardboard box. And you open it, and there's a paper inside it with a love note. And it's a question from God. Do you really want to know me? Do you really want to know who I am? And in these gifts of time, we can receive it, we can redeem them, we can make the most of it, we can enjoy it, or you could fritter it away. I have done both. But you know, in this unusual, extraordinary time, we are all on the same page. We're all affected. You hear different people say it's a new game plan. Some are calling it a reset. But there's certainly one thing we can all say. We've not walked this way before. And to varying and daring degrees, we are facing significant challenges. Some of you with job losses, some in the area of relationships, and some in the area of isolation, just to name a few. But in all of it, we've still got some underlying questions. What is God doing? What is God saying? Or plainly, where is he? There's lots of opinions. There's lots of significant messages that bring pieces to the puzzle. I do not know. But there are some convictions that are growing stronger in this space within me. And there is that this is a spiritual battle. This virus is just a catalyst. And I want to declare there are bigger issues at stake. And in such a time, where does God want us to be? I go back to Ephesians 5, which you all know so well. What he says, be strong in the Lord, being proud through your union with him. So we might like the well-known story of David and Goliath, that I think God wants to put a deeper indignation, that we can say like when David saw Goliath, instead of running away in fear, he said, who is this uncircumcised giant that comes as a thief and a robber to destroy? Who is he who comes to defy the armies of the living God? And God wants us to really know that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against powers and master spirits, rulers of the present darkness and wickedness. But the wonderful thing about this is who Jesus took authority over on the cross. But you know, God uses this time. He will redeem it in a spectacular way. Sure, it is a time of shaking. And what the shaking does, it reveals spaces and places that need to be strengthened or rebuilt like in our earthquake days. And you know, it's in God's mercy. He is showing us these places, so that we will have time. Reveals where we're lacking in faith and trust, not to condemn us, but to encourage us. Because this virus is riding on the effects of fear. And what is shaping us and what is giving us is what we are giving our attention to. Are we more focused on what the media declares or on the word of God? And either will reveal. Are we building our homes, our families, our lives on the sand or on the rock? Yes, it was also a time of an awakening, a wake-up call. And I trust you really are feeling this. Sometimes you don't know what to do with it, but it's fresh stirrings. I think God wants us to be more alert. There's a greater cry in prayer. And that is a wonderful thing. And it's a sifting through values and priorities. And as you reflect, I wonder, have you thought, what really matters in my life today? Because you know, in a spiritual awakening, he said, behold, I do a new thing, and it brings new life. You know, this gift of time, it is a call to be still for the purpose of knowing that I am God. There is no one greater than me. He is has the name above all names. He's the creator of all things. And through this, he's working everything out according to his plan and purpose. But to be still, that is a huge challenge. But if I have a hunger, I say, but oh God, I want to know you. You really help me in this. I think a very well-known psalm comes to mind in Psalm 23. You know that the shepherd, he said, as a good shepherd, the first thing he does, he makes me to lie down. And we're not sure why lie down. Because it seems like the sheep didn't feel like that was necessary at that particular time. It said, he maketh me, which implies a little bit of force, maybe some persuasiveness. They wanted to get on. They wanted to get on the journey. They wanted to go ahead. But he maketh them to lie down. And thankfully in New Zealand, we are laid down in green pastures. But in relishing that, let us be mindful in prayer and practical ways of others who are in dire situations. And why be still? Why lie down? There's so much ahead. But the shepherd knew that there was an ascending path ahead that would require more strength. It would require greater energy. They needed a new anointing. And so this time of lying down was a gift. It was a time of preparation. I'm sure you've all heard so much about Psalm 91. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty and the wonderful promises that are related to that. I read that over my home, over the homes of my family, the ones that I'm related to, over our church, over our city and nation many times. And every time I come across either promise, I declare, be it unto us, Lord, according to this wonderful word. But it does begin, and it is prefaced by the first verse, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. And in that abiding, there's a place of rest. There's a place of receiving. There's a place to be still. Well, to be still. Well, for sure that's easier said than done. But for most of us at this time, we can't go anywhere. And where would we be without technology and Zoom? I've had some wonderful prayer times, some wonderful conversations through the Zoom. But we all want answers. We want to know when is all it going to change? And as we today come into our fourth week of quarantine, and for me this is probably my fifth, you can be chafing at the bit. You're rearing to get into gear. Not only are you rearing to get into gear, you need to. You want some quick fixes. You are listless and you find it hard to settle. And the hardest place to settle is in our hearts. And when I begin to decide I want to be still, 1,000 thoughts come racing through my mind. If only, what can I do? But with this gift of time, it is a Kairos moment. And I genuinely feel an urgency about it. I feel it's such an important time. It's time to gird up our loins just as they did at Passover. But to first of all do this, you need to put your iPad away, your iPhone, and you need to slow down. You need to command your heart and your soul, be still. And worship music can help you with this. It can help change the atmosphere and refocus. And then sit down Write down your thoughts. Write down your feelings, your fears and concerns. And I get the picture that they're all over the place, and I feel like you need to tie them down and stop them racing all over the place, wreaking havoc. And as you write them down, then take that piece of paper, or maybe it's become a little book, and present it to the Lord as in Philippians 4, by prayer and thanksgiving. And let the peace of God rule over your minds and over your hearts. Just for a moment, I just want to pray that over you. Father, you know the hearts and the homes of these precious people. And I just pray, let the peace of God rule. Let it reign. And Lord, we just draw into a place where the cross, every anxiety, every concern, and every thought, and we say we trust you. Let your presence and let your peace be very real in every heart who's listening and every home, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, storms, the darkness, are part of life. Some we're protected from and some we are protected in. And just when I think of a storm, you would obviously think of these two in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, where the disciples were out in a boat in an incredible storm, and Jesus was asleep in the storm, and he wasn't doing anything. It seems like he wasn't even aware of what they were going through. And so finally, they shook him and they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're what we're doing and that we're about to die?" And I loved, as I can imagine, Jesus was faced with two storms, the one on the boat and the one outside. And maybe he thought, which is the easiest one to deal with first? So he looked over the boat and rebuked the storm, and he shouted to the sea, "Be still." Well, I think the Message Bible says, "Shut up, calm down." And all at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. He turned to the other storm. Okay, how are the disciples feeling? And he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you not learned to trust?" Now they were afraid, and in all they landed on the other side. But do you know, that storm, they had an experience, a revelation of who Jesus is, his authority and his power. The day could have been very different, maybe relatively ordinary, smooth, beautiful, straightforward, sailing across, no dramas. And we had a taste of that when we were in Galilee. It was beautiful sailing on that lake. But my, as they look back, what they experienced through the storm, what they saw, the authority and the power of their God. It was amazing, was miraculous. And that can be for you and your storm too. But there was one other storm. And as I read this one, you would know it so well. How the disciples, and just time Jesus was praying on the hill. And they were straining at the oars, trying to make headway. And just before the dawn, Jesus came to them walking on the water. And I won't go into the story, how Jesus, that encounter that Peter had. But there was one thing that caught my attention, that Jesus started to pass them by. Jesus, do you know the dilemma that they were in? How come you started to pass by them? I think he wanted to know, did they really, really want him? It was the same in Luke 24. You know, after the resurrection on the road to Emmaus, they had an amazing dialogue with him. And when they came to the house, they stopped. And Jesus went to go on. And they pleaded with him. But it was only when they invited him that he came in. With the gift of time, in spite of all the answers I feel I need, my greatest cry, and I want you, is that, oh God, I want to know you. I want to know you more intimately. I want you in my boat. I want you in my house. I want you in my life. You draw me, Lord, and I will run. And so may you be still. And Lord, you will come to know him as your lover, as your peace, your provider, your healer, whatever you need. He is such a good, good God. And I think this is, in this gift of time, there's a decreeing and a warring for our future. And I would say, cast not away your confidence, the confession of your faith, for it has great reward. I say, sort out the promises of God, revel in them, decree them, sing them, and at times shout them to God. I love that one. I'll sing a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. Because the coronavirus is after your breath and after your voice. Corona means crown. Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And it's significant right in the middle of this time that we're in, we have the Passover and the resurrection. Wow. Jesus triumphed over all the power of hell, the grave and death. He has taken captive the destroyer of life, the river, and he comes to us as the life giver. He breathed into that which once was like a valley of dry bones, the breath of life and man. They become like the army of the living God. You dear older people, us, the generations following, and our brokenness at times, he is our breath. He is our life giver. Yes, we want change. We want answers. But may we not lose the opportunity with this gift of time. Sure, getting the garden up to date is wonderful. But unpack this other toolbox. Discover more and more that our weapons are mighty before God, pulling down strongholds. Weapons are formed, but they shall not prosper. I want to emerge, not limping, but knowing and experience more of him, my God. And I love this final scripture in Luke 9:32. In a time of awakening, when Peter and those that were with him were fully awake, they saw his glory, they saw his splendor and his majesty. We are being prepared for such a time, and his glory shall be seen. So, Father, I join with each one of these dear ones today, and I thank you for this gift of time. May we redeem it wisely. May we enjoy it. May we be revived. May we be restored. May we sing a new song and be prepared for the incredible days that are ahead. Wish I could give you a hug. Much, much love. God is amazing. Bless you. Amen.